Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Modern Business. And on this episode, we have Samir Bhatia, who is the president of BW Group. And he and I chatted today about implications and kind of top advice around this new tax bill. And since there's a couple of days left in 2017, there are a couple of things that he mentions in this episode that you might want to consider acting on before the end of the year. And there are also other implications long term. So listen through, I think it's about 10 minutes or so. Listen through as he and I caught up on a call today. Enjoy. Actually, before we jump in, I wanted to note that we chatted about cryptocurrencies and specifically Bitcoin and some implications tax-wise that you might consider before the end of 2017. I know we're only given a few days or a couple of days here, but I wanted to specifically note that for the folks that are involved with the Bitcoin craze going on. So note that at the end. And now we will jump in. Enjoy. Welcome, I'm Ryan Hicks, and this is Modern Business, the podcast to learn from franchise business leaders and explore new business technology. Our community is about sharing knowledge and tools that help us achieve our goals in business and beyond. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Modern Business.
So having read the tax bill and all that, most people are getting their knowledge from the news and just from headlines. And what I wanted to do is just from someone that's read through it, like what are the implications on the business? And then maybe what are some of the couple of the implications for personal as well?
Okay. Well, I am excited about the new tax bill that came out. It seems like everyone's going to benefit for the most part. There's a couple of losers here in the $300,000 to $400,000 individual brackets. But other than that, it's going to be a good tax cut for across the board, and really excited about small business owners that are in a flow-through structure, whether it's a S-corporation, a sole proprietorship, S-corp, or anything like that, where the income flows from the entity to them personally. They've added a 20% deduction, and that's going to be essentially an extra 20% that's not going to be taxed. There are income limits, and there are some other hurdles to get around, so I would really encourage you to, for anyone that's got individuals that have income under 200,000 and married filing jointly have over 400,000, they can take advantage of this. Now, if their income is above that, there is a C-Corp strategy that we would implement on top of that. So that would be a whole different entity, and we would pay some taxes on the C-Corp side and continue to build wealth there while still not losing the 20% free deduction that's coming in on the, that's going to be on a flow-through entity. So that's kind of the main thing that I really like people to take advantage of and really trying to understand. There are hurdles for personal service companies, people like attorneys, people like myself, accountants, people like physicians that are going to have a little bit more of a hurdle to get through. There's a couple of more red tape, but for the most part, those limits are a little bit lower. That's 150 and roughly 300 for those kind of service-based industries. But for non-service, someone that's selling a product or anything like that and their profit is 200 for individual, roughly 400 for married, they get an extra 20% deduction. So that's really good news overall for everyone that's going to benefit. And like nice. I said, if you're going to be above that, then you know you want to go ahead and talk to your tax advisor and ask them how the C Corp Incorporated would benefit them.
Awesome. I want to unpack a couple of things that you just said. I want to ask a couple of follow-on questions. Before we do that, tell us a little bit about BW Group and a little bit about yourself. I know that you're in real estate. You've got a lot of very exciting things going on, but tell us about BW Group.
Sure. BW Group, we started that about 5 years ago. Me and one other guy started it that are equity partners. We've got a non-equity partner as well. And we've got experience in the Big Four is where we started and then went to a small company and really learned the ins and outs. And we just kind of got tired of it, and we didn't feel like small business owners were getting enough attention. I've got a small business background where my whole family is in the small business industry, and they don't understand a lot of these tax deductions. And it seems like a lot of these tax, I don't want to call them loopholes, but these tax strategies were really designed and really used for major corporations, and seems like the little guy making a couple hundred thousand a year isn't really getting the benefits. So that's kind of what our firm focuses on, is really helping these small business owners really take advantage of everything that's out there and making sure that they get to keep every hard-earned dollar as they can, yeah, legally, of course.
Absolutely. And you also manage a portfolio of real estate, correct?
Correct. We do. We do lending on single-family houses, people that are flipping, going in there and flipping assets pretty quickly. Generally, our flippers borrow from us are between 90 and 120-day loans. Mm-hmm. They're just going in, fixing it up, selling it. And then we invest in multifamily, and we've got about a few hundred units currently, but the goal is to keep adding more and more.
Killer. So let's go back over to some of the top tax tips that we were talking about. Can you unpack a little bit and talk a little bit more on the C-Corp strategy that you mentioned?
Okay, so the C-Corp strategy, those rates have gone down from 35% to 21%. So if what that, you know, that's a big cut for about 15% roughly for people that were paying a good chunk of money. So that's going to really help a lot of businesses that were here. Their goal overall is to bring all the money that was overseas, and there's a territorial tax they've added. We won't get into that, but they're all the money that was overseas back to the U.S. and really create jobs and really create everything here. And to incentivize them, they're making this little low tax structure for publicly traded companies and really anyone that can be a C corp. So what there was, the downside was there was a double taxation, and if you paid 35% tax and then you took a dividend and that was taxed another 15%, you were looking at about 50%, and they've cut that down quite a bit. So now if you're in the tax bracket, top tax bracket, which is 37%, and you take and you pay 21% on the corporate side and 15% on the dividend side, then you're still looking at roughly 35%. So you're still saving money overall rather than going with the non-C corp side. So it's a really exciting, really good strategy, and we recommend a hybrid for people that are making above $400,000. And there's a method to the madness, because we want to implement both sides for small business owners. We've got a lot of real estate guys, people that are flipping a lot of houses, people that are, you know, that are in maybe internet-based businesses that the profits can be significantly high with no overhead costs. If they're just issuing some kind of license and they're going in and making $500,000-$600,000, then, like I was saying earlier, that there's a 20% additional deduction that they've added starting next year. So for income that flows through like a partnership over to you personally, if it's under the threshold limits, depending on the business, then you get an additional 20% deduction. So let's say you make $100,000 and you get that coming to you personally on your personal return. Well, now being taxed on $100,000, you're now being taxed on $80,000, which is a huge deduction. Even if you're, you know, in the 20% bracket, that's a $4,000 savings right there, which is going to be huge for small business owners that are kind of looking at every dollar. But we have to, you know, make sure we get around the red tape and do the adequate salary, and we don't qualify. We don't have income that's too high that won't qualify for that. So that's where we implement the C corp strategy as well, for incomes over $400,000, to really get the best of both worlds. And the main purpose being not to lose that 20% deduction that we get when the income flows through from the business to the personal side.
Understood. And you've read this bill cover to cover, right?
Correct, unfortunately.
Talk a little bit about the personal service hurdles that you mentioned, because I know a lot of the folks that listen, I know a few personally, they have businesses in, you know, those sectors. Talk a little bit about some of those hurdles.
Okay, so for a personal service, so there's a list out there if you qualify as a personal service, and if you're on the fence, you probably do. They didn't have physicians in the original one. I don't know how doctors got around it, but they've gone back and added it. But the limitations are a little bit lower. So the actual limitations are $157,000 for single and $315,000 for married filing jointly. Mm-hmm. So to get the 20% deduction, and your payroll has to be at least half that. So for S corps, which are most companies that we recommend, you'd have to have, so if you wanted to get, let's say you made $100,000 that was coming to you on the personal service side on your company, you'd have to have, to get the whole 20% deduction of $20,000, you'd have to have your wages be at least $40,000.
Got it.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So there's a couple of hurdles, but, you know, the only thing is I would just encourage you to kind of, and I could do a little better job drawing it out on a whiteboard so we can follow it, but I would just, and I plan on.
By the way, a note on that, please go, we were at lunch the other day chatting about some videos that you're making. You ought to make a video you just in front of a whiteboard where you do that. And then what we'll do is I'll link out and share it to some folks.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to make that later today. I'll send it to you when I'm done with it.
Yeah, no rush, but I think that would be really valuable. A little bit more on your business. Do you have a particular industry of focus or industries of focus? And then also talk a little bit about your experience in the franchise space.
Okay. Most of our businesses are, a lot of our businesses are in real estate sector because we, you know, that's kind of where our investments are. So kind of where the circles you run around in, those guys want to do business with you. So a lot of our clients are in the real estate business. We've got a lot of physicians and franchises as well, but those are the major type. But we generally don't get into a whole lot of inventory-based business, although they've simplified all those rules. So the reasons we weren't heavily involved in those, we weren't sure we were providing the best value for those. So franchises that are service-based, we can add a lot of value to. So a lot of oil changes places, a lot of massage places. Really, we got some Chick-fil-A's, we've got Subway's, we got a lot of those franchises that come in and really just want to know what the cookie cutter strategy is so they can scale it and run it across the board. And now we weren't really heavily involved in were the inventory, but that's going to kind of open back up because they've simplified those rules. And for people with sales under $25 million, they've kind of really simplified the Section 263A rules, which were the reason we were staying away from them. But that's kind of the space we're in, really service based, physician, real estate. You got those kind of businesses, we can really add a lot of value to your business. And we kind of see ourselves as more of a partner that we kind of make strategies together instead of just kind of come in and you drop off your stuff and we file your return 3 weeks later and you pick it up. We'd like to kind of really get into the weeds and try to help you really grow your business and figure out your goals and kind of align a tax strategy that goes along with those goals.
Love it. Any parting thoughts or final thoughts on top tips on the tax strategies?
Yes. The only other thing I would say that might apply is that I know a lot of individuals are trading in Bitcoin right now, and there was a lot of cryptocurrency. There was a strategy out there where you could do a like-kind exchange like you do in real estate. It's called a 1031, and they're minimizing that to only real estate assets starting in 2018. So if you were going to trade, you know, Bitcoin for, let's say, Litecoin, and you had a big gain in Bitcoin, you didn't want to pay taxes on it and just buy Litecoin with it, then you could do that as a tax-free exchange, but you need to do that in the next couple of days.
Interesting.
Yeah, so on the 31st, that goes away. So on the 31st, it's going to be only for real estate assets. So if you're listening and you're kind of thinking, oh, maybe I want to go trade in, call your advisor now, call someone and get that done before the 31st. At least put your order in before the 31st so we can, even if they process it next year, you can get the benefit.
Interesting. Follow-on question, what do you make of the whole Bitcoin craze? I have a lot of friends that are really deep into investing and trying to figure out how to navigate it. I think everyone is, but what do you think of Bitcoin and the whole blockchain, really crypto craze?
Me personally, I don't understand it well enough to make an educated opinion. I believe in investing in stuff you know and understand, but you know, with all that said, people could have invested $100 in Bitcoin a few years ago and be hundreds of thousands now. So, but you know, I don't look at those as loss on gain because I never understood it to begin with. I could have lost $1,000 or whatever too, and then I wouldn't know why. So
right.
If people are doing it, I'm more power to them. I just wish I understood a little bit better to put money in.
Cheers, man. Thank you very much for your time. And you and I will link up soon, and I look forward to it.
All right, sounds good, man. We'll talk to you soon.